Last week I preached to you from Caesarea Philippi, and I gave you the keys to the kingdom. And I don't always like to re-preach what I preached the week before, but I think for you to understand kingdom is important, because if you don't understand kingdom and you've never received the king and all that goes with the king, then you'll not be able to understand what I'm talking about when I give you kingdom revelation. So I'm going to read the scripture from last week and talk to you just a moment about that particular passage of scripture. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, some say you're a mighty prophet. It's an important question even for this day and age. Who do you say that Jesus is? And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. When God reveals things to you from heaven, that's wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. If God gives you wisdom from his throne room, you have a responsibility to do something with it. A word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is when you share that which God has revealed to you from his throne room. Sometimes God gives you a word of knowledge to release into the lives of other people. I can't tell you how many times that God's given me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for someone. I've released that word to someone, and then later I would get an email. I was on the verge of committing suicide. Or I was cutting myself, or I was broken, and I was about to make a really bad decision. But that word of encouragement lifted me out of the depths of hell. Sometimes that person that gets on your nerves that you work with, somebody say amen, they're really hurting, and if you'll release a word into them, it can change the atmosphere. And so that's what we're talking about tonight, is kingdom wisdom. But before he received wisdom, Simon Peter released a kingdom declaration. So you must confess your faith first, receive Jesus Christ as Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment of your inheritance for the kingdom. And once you've received Jesus, you've declared that out of your mouth, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then you get the keys to the kingdom. Amen? And I believe you can find those keys in the teachings of Jesus, and I released those to you last week. I'm not going to do that tonight. But Jesus goes on to say, and I also say to you that you are Petra, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So you move from declaration to salvation, and then you receive the down payment of your inheritance through the Holy Spirit. Then you can start walking in the wisdom that God gives you from his throne room. Everybody say kingdom wisdom. This Sunday we're starting a series on spiritual gifts. I preached a series on spiritual gifts 3 years ago, and I'm relaunching that series because of where we are as a church. We're at a different place now than we were 3 years ago. We've had a lot of new people giving us a look this past year. We've had a great deal of new members. We've had some shifting. God is building up a remnant to take this city, and it's important that we don't just get them saved, but we show them who they are in Christ Jesus. And you need to know what you're called to do. Everybody was born with a spiritual gift. God has gifted you to serve his kingdom, amen? You've got to believe that. Four of you agree with me tonight. Because you've allowed society to beat you up your whole life and tell you you're not worth anything. Somebody say, I'm gifted. You're gifted from God. You're a child of the Most High God. You've got kingdom power on the inside of you. And once you realize that you have kingdom power, kingdom potential, you'll gain access into heavenly places, and you'll get what I'm talking to you about tonight, and that's kingdom wisdom. Kingdom wisdom. So on Sunday mornings, we're going to give you an overview of all the gifts, the manifestation gifts, the motivational gifts, the mysterious gifts like celibacy and martyrdom. We're going to give you an overview of all these gifts, but on Wednesday night during the midweek momentum, we're going to be taking one of those gifts and we're going to be teaching you. So we're going to go deeper on Wednesday night than what we're going to do on Sunday morning. So I encourage you to stay faithful because we're really going to dive into these gifts over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm going to start tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Solomon says this. He says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. What does that mean? That means you can chop down a tree with a dull axe head. But it would be in your best interest to chop it down with a sharp one. Amen? We need wisdom if we're going to take this world for Jesus Christ. We need wisdom if we're going to take our city for Jesus Christ. We need wisdom just to get through the day tomorrow. We need the wisdom that comes from God. It is a spiritual gift when it comes to the word of wisdom, but it is also a gift that comes from God in critical moments when you've prayed, you've fasted, you've cried, you don't know what to do, but all of a sudden something rises up in your spirit and you get wisdom from the Father. How many of you would say, Pastor Ronnie, I need wisdom in a specific area tonight? How many of you say, I'm seeking wisdom in a specific area tonight? I'm just going to agree with you that God's going to do that for you. Before you leave, you're going to get wisdom as to how you can do what God has called you to do. But wisdom brings success. Wisdom makes our lives easier. Wisdom gets the job done, and wisdom gives and yields direction. If you have wisdom, you know where you're going. If you have wisdom, you know what to do. If you have wisdom, you know how to do it. Somebody say amen. If you have wisdom, you know what not to do. If you have wisdom, you know who not to connect with. If you have wisdom, you know who not to date. If you have wisdom, you know where to apply for the job. God will give you supernatural wisdom to do anything. If it lines up with His kingdom and kingdom principles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. And we'll dive into this more on Sunday morning. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Interesting verse right there. To simply say that the Holy Spirit was real in the Old Covenant and is still real in the New Covenant and is the Holy Spirit that gets you saved. So if that same Holy Spirit's active in your salvation, it ought to be active in how you function in your everyday life. The Holy Spirit's not just going to get you saved and leave you an orphan. Jesus said He wouldn't leave us an orphan. That's free. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom or a word of wisdom. Everybody say word of wisdom. That is the spiritual gift that comes down from heaven. That is the spiritual gift that God gives you when He gives you a word for others. God can do it. Thank you, Brother Roger. I'll need that probably later because I'm talking a lot tonight. Y'all get ready. God supernaturally will speak to you, but it's never just for you. Have you figured out that what God wants to do in your life in the area of wealth, in the area of finance, in the area of relationships, in the area of ministry, every aspect of your life, God has a purpose that's much bigger than you? If you know that, say amen. We're very selfish in the way we pray. We pray for our will to be done. But it's His will. Amen? It's Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The message of wisdom or the word of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy, and distinguishing between spirits and speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And we're going to cover all of these things on Sunday morning. But let's focus tonight on kingdom wisdom. One person said that wisdom is the quality that keeps you from getting into situations where you need it. Another person said, J.J. Packer, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Doug Larson said this, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Sometimes there's wisdom in being quiet. If you'll shut up, you'll learn something. How many of you are guilty of talking when you should have been listening? Guilty as charged. Sometimes in the still of the night, when it's quiet, God will speak to you supernaturally about what He wants you to do and how He wants you to do it. The American definition of wisdom is very similar to the Bible. It's the understanding of what is true, right, or lasting. The understanding of what is true, right, and lasting. The kingdom of God is true, it's right, and it's lasting. It's a domain over which a king rules. I heard a story about the automaker Henry Ford. And he had asked his friend, who was an electrical genius, Charlie Steinmetz, to build generators for his factory. And one day the generators stopped. A few of them blew up. Fuses blew up. And the repairman, they couldn't figure out the problem. So Henry Ford called Steinmetz and said, hey, I need you to come and tinker with these machines and fix them. My production has slowed. And so Steinmetz came at Henry Ford's request, and he tinkered with the machines, and before you know it, they were back in production. They were making automobiles again, and he sent Henry Ford a bill for $10,000, which was equivalent to about a million nowadays. And he sent him a bill for $10,000, and Henry Ford was upset about it and said, listen, why is this bill so high? And he said, it should have only cost me $10 for you to tinker with some generators. And Steinmetz's reply was pretty awesome. He says, for tinkering with the generators, it was $10. But for knowing where to tinker, $9,990. And that's the definition of wisdom. You know, if you hire an electrician at your home, you're not paying them necessarily for their time. You're paying them for their knowledge. If you hire a plumber, you're not necessarily paying them for their time or how hard they worked. You're paying them for their knowledge. When you hire someone to do something, you're paying them for the wisdom that they've attained over a period of time. And that is what it is all about. When you can get just an ounce of God's wisdom in a situation, friend, it will set you free. And we need God's wisdom. You know, even in church life, and I believe in strategizing, I believe in excellence, I believe in doing whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ. If I have to dress up as a clown, if I have to wear a tie, if I need to dress casual, if I need to paint my hair, if I need to pierce my nose, whatever I need to do that'll reach people for Jesus Christ, you need to understand I'm willing, because I know that's what I'm called to do in the kingdom, is to reach people for Jesus Christ and see them discipled. I'm for strategies. But I know just an ounce of God's wisdom will show us what we need to do to penetrate the lost world around us. Paul would go on to say earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when addressing the church, because the church was a mess, it was just entrenched with pagan rituals, there were all these things going on, sexual problems, hypocrisy, everything in the world was going on at Corinth in this particular city. And he says this, he says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. How many of you understand that there are people in this age that believe they have wisdom? But when you say it's okay to kill a baby in the third trimester and you cheer and applaud when that passes in the state of New York, friend, that's not wisdom, that's foolishness. And it breaks my heart, and it ought to break your heart, that that's where this nation is headed. I tell you, we were in full-on warfare Sunday. We had planned to air that message on television and use it and use Adam's testimony, but literally the whole time I preached, I had an echo in my ear and a scratching sound. Some of you could probably hear it, some of you couldn't, but I've never had a more difficult time preaching than I did this past Sunday morning. Our sound system's getting a complete overhaul across the board. We've been having all this trouble, but I believe there was a warfare element to that too, because we'd planned to put Adam's story on and my message on to really counteract what the devil's doing around this nation when it comes to abortion. And man, the enemy fought it the whole time. And when people said, man, that was a powerful message, I said, well, it's a miracle. Because it was almost like talking. Have you ever been on your Bluetooth in your car and you start getting that echo? Have you ever tried to have a conversation and you're like, let me call you back when I get this Bluetooth fixed? Imagine preaching for 35, 40 minutes with that. That's what it felt like. And I really felt like the enemy didn't want that message to get out. It says, no, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, no human has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That is the kingdom. The Spirit of God searches deep unto deep. We must understand that we have the mind of Christ. If you are saved, you have the mind of Christ. You've been given wisdom. So let me tell you a little bit about wisdom, the wisdom of God, kingdom wisdom. It's, first of all, it's merciful. You'll never respond in anger if you're operating in God's wisdom. It's got quiet in here. The wisdom of God is merciful. Even if you're right on an issue, if you don't have mercy in your heart, or grace in your heart, then you aren't functioning with kingdom wisdom. Because we are not going to win this warfare battle with anger and flesh. We're going to win it in the spirit, but we need kingdom wisdom to win it. David said in Psalms chapter 103, verse 9 and 10, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. This is the wisdom of God, not the world. If God doesn't punish you for the stuff you've done, then why do you think it's okay for you to hate someone you disagree with? Are you going to win them to Jesus with hate? Are you going to keep them from having abortions or voting for abortion with your hate? No, you won't. It's not a biblical principle. You better learn how to do what Jesus told us to do in the Beatitudes, and you better learn the key of humility, the key of authenticity. You better learn the key of authority and the key of submission and the key of love and grace and mercy. His mercy endures forever. I didn't get many amens, but that's the truth of God. You are not going to win the war God's called you to with fleshly anger and animosity and bitterness. You've got to do what Dr. King did, and you've got to learn to be nonviolent, and you've got to learn to be graceful, and you've got to learn to be loving in how you respond and treat people if you want to see change in an area. This is the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom of the world is to accuse. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. So when the enemy whispers in your ear, you're no good, you're nothing, you're nobody, he's the accuser of the brethren. You can't listen to that. You can't listen to your haters. Amen? When someone else accuses you or falsely accuses you, or they misrepresent you, or they don't understand who you truly are, and they speak ill will of you, you are blessed because you are identifying with your Savior, Jesus Christ. And every now and then, God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I think it was just yesterday, you know, you can go on social media and you can see your memories, you know. 1 year ago I was doing this, or 2 years ago, and 5 years ago. And so we all look at those things, and if you have children, you get to see your kids when they were little. It's a really nice thing that Facebook offers. Well, I was looking, and just, I think it was yesterday or a few days ago, it was 2 years ago when the church voted for me to be the pastor. And I got to looking at those pictures and the elders laying hands on me, and some have come and gone, and I got to read some comments, and like 95% were positive, and this one guy had something negative to say, and I thought about sharing it and say, hey man, I'm still standing 2 years later, amen? Because I'm telling you, God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. If God's called you to it, he's going to get you through it, amen? If he called you to it, he's going to get you through it. And he'll give you the wisdom to know how to survive, how to sustain, and how to press through any situation. So let's get into some meat now. There are three types of wisdom. Number one, wisdom from here. Everybody say wisdom from here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw when you say, I found no pleasure in them. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. I preach it all the time on the mission field. It's one of my go-tos for evangelism. But there's deeper wisdom here. There's deeper wisdom here. So let's back up to 2 Corinthians and let's reread some Scriptures here and let's relate the two. Solomon was a man of wisdom. God gave him wisdom, but he found it to be vanity. Paul says, we speak a message, a word of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom. Everybody say God's wisdom. There's a difference between earth's wisdom and the wisdom from here and God's wisdom. Earthly wisdom can be attained. You can get it out of a book. You can achieve a degree, but that has nothing to do with God's wisdom. There is a level of wisdom here. You should study for it. You should try to attain world's wisdom, but for the purpose of shining your light in the midst of it. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. He wants you to be learned in whatever he's called you to do. So there's nothing wrong with learning, but there's wisdom from here. Solomon had everything that anybody could want in this place. That's why he said, remember now your Creator in the days of thy youth before the days of trouble come. Then he describes getting old, which I don't have time to do that tonight. But there are three things in the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon talks about. The first is vanity. What does that word mean? It means meaningless. Everybody say meaningless. This guy built the temple. He had millions of dollars. He had all the women, all the wine, everything you could have. He was the successor of his father David. He had everything you could ever want, but he comes to the end of his life and he's imagining how he'll die and how he'll be remembered, and he screams vanity of vanities. Out of his spirit comes the word vanity, which in the Hebrew is the same word you'd find when you see Adam and Eve holding their dead son Abel. It's the same word in Hebrew. It's holding a dead body and crying out, why God, why this is so meaningless. And I'm telling you, that'll put life in perspective for you if you let it. So Solomon had all the wisdom. He had asked God for one thing. God gave him wisdom. He had wisdom. Man, he knew how to build things. He knew how to make money. He knew how to make music. He knew how to write. He had 1,000 wives. I don't know how he did that. We'll get into that another week. But he had all kinds of things going on in his world. He had wisdom. He built the temple. David didn't. He did. He had the wisdom. But do you understand? It wasn't enough. He says, vanity of vanities. So you'll see that in Ecclesiastes. The next phrase in there is chasing the wind. Earthly wisdom will cause you to chase things that God doesn't want you to chase. Earthly wisdom will cause you to waste your time on things that don't matter. Listen to the things we do. Listen to the things we say to one another and look at what we do. Most of what we do is really meaningless in the kingdom of God. And I'm including myself in that. How much time do we spend watching TV? How much time do we spend watching the news? Fox News, if you're my dad, he's got a problem. We need to pray for him. Okay? But how much time do we spend watching the news? Does that make anything better? Does it make you feel better? It's a chasing the wind. How much time do we spend trying to achieve success in whatever field we are in? Searching for affirmation, searching for approval. Well, if we had the wisdom of God, we'd already have that. We wouldn't be searching for man's approval. We'd just be doing everything under the Lord. We'd be successful on the job site because we'd have the kingdom wisdom to know that everything we do under the Lord. How much time do we spend saving money? Putting it into a 401k or a Roth IRA or whatever it may be. All these are smart things to do. It's earthly wisdom. But what does that have to do with the kingdom of heaven? You can't take it with you. Think of the time we spend. Much of it is chasing the wind. The other phrase mentioned is under the sun. The wisdom that God gave Solomon, I believe, was wisdom that he could use under the sun for his time here on earth. But see, I don't want that kind of wisdom tonight. I want the wisdom from the throne room of God. I want the spiritual gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. I want to know when to speak and how to speak into the lives of people where the atmosphere changes. I want to have the wisdom that comes from the throne room of God to know what to do. Amen? You can't achieve this without the Holy Spirit. Religion will not give you the wisdom that you need. As I said last week, religion is what man does and preoccupies themselves with until they find kingdom. We need to find the kingdom in everything that we say and everything we do. So we have wisdom from here, and then we have wisdom from our hearts. Everybody say emotions. Wisdom from our hearts. Solomon would say in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, come now, I will test you with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this was all vanity. But listen to what he says. I said in my what? Everybody say emotions. Now, the prophet Jeremiah sends a message to Judah to repent. But we can draw wisdom from Jeremiah's words. Listen to this. Particularly verse 9, chapter 17. This is what the Lord said. Curses the one who trusts in man. Everybody say worldly wisdom. Who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. Kingdom vision is the ability to see prosperity when it comes. But it says those who trust in man and not God and draw strength from their flesh, not the Spirit of God, whose heart is away from the Lord, they'll be like a bush in the wastelands and they will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert in a salt land where no one lives. Here we go. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Whose confidence is in Him. They will be what? Like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wouldn't you like to be the kind of Christian that never failed to bear fruit? Sometimes my fruit's been rotten, amen? Sometimes my branches have withered up. But I'd like to be the kind of Christian that always bear fruit. I can always produce a harvest, amen? How do we do that? You've got to tap into that other dimension. You've got to tap into the things of God. Number 9, here we go, verse 9. The heart is deceitful. We always quote this verse, but I wanted to read the ones before it so you could understand this kingdom wisdom principle. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Here's who can understand it. The one who doesn't curse God. The one who doesn't put their trust in man. The one who draws strength from the spirit, not the flesh. The one whose heart is for the Lord and His kingdom. That's the person that can understand it. But most people chasing the wind, under the sun, living a meaningless life, their heart is deceitful. Your emotions will play tricks on you. Your emotions will play tricks on you. That's why you need to be engaged with the Spirit of God. Jeremiah goes on to say in verse 18, let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with a double destruction. Your emotions will not only play tricks on you, They'll tempt you to make irrational decisions. Somebody say, we're talking about the Spirit. Y'all with me tonight? Your emotions will cause you to make irrational decisions. Your emotions will play tricks on you, and your emotions will lead you to wrong kind of relationships. If you're single in here, you ought to ask God to show you who He wants you to have as a mate. In fact, allow the Spirit of God to help you create a list of everything you want in a mate. Put that in your Bible and start praying. And I promise you, you're going to end up with someone who fits the description of that list. If it's God's list. If what you wrote down is kingdom wisdom, not earthly wisdom, it came from the throne room of heaven, then you will be amazed at what God does for you when the time comes. Amen? So the wisdom from here, the wisdom that comes from your heart is emotion. You've got earthly wisdom, the wisdom from here, then the wisdom from your heart is emotional wisdom. It's what happens under the sun. But what I'm closing with tonight is the wisdom from heaven. The wisdom from heaven. Jesus knew how to function in wisdom. Look at the temptation. Look at how he responded to the enemy at every turn. The enemy tried to use scripture against him. He counteracted it. Jesus counteracted every demonic force that came against him. You say, well, he was Jesus. He was God. He was God, but he was fully man. He was operating with kingdom, wisdom, and authority as a man in flesh. The Holy Spirit governed the life of Jesus Christ. Wisdom from the Father, the Bible says you have access to that same level of wisdom. Amen? So religion teaches you, go to the preacher, go to the priest, go to the throne, but you have access to what Jesus had. He said, greater works we will do. Sometimes I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that, but spiritually, let's grab hold of that and understand that kingdom wisdom is available for you. You don't know what to do? Tap into the Holy Spirit. Call on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for wisdom. The wisdom from heaven is the supernatural impartation of facts. The supernatural impartation of facts. It's conveying God's thoughts to someone else. You have to speak it. Somebody say, speak it. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, that spiritual gift will never contradict the word of God. That's the thing you must understand, my spirit-filled friends. I believe God speaks to you. I believe God fills you. I believe God heals you. I believe in prayer language. I believe in interpretation. I believe everything the Bible says. But you must understand, if you get off base and what you are saying to people doesn't edify or encourage, then you aren't operating biblically. And what you say, if it's kingdom wisdom, it's going to line up with kingdom word. Kingdom wisdom always lines up with kingdom word. That's why sometimes I don't get as into charismatic cliches as I once did, because I've seen that. I've seen rotten fruit. I've seen bogus church. I've seen people get hyped with emotion and their lives really not change. So I want you to get the authentic power of the Holy Spirit, so when you leave here, you'll have something that's going to help you get up tomorrow. I don't care about you falling down tonight. I care about you getting up tomorrow and living for Jesus. Because I saw a lot of nonsense in that. Saw a lot of good things too, but I saw a lot of nonsense in that. You know, I want to see fruit that remains. Amen? Fruit that remains. Fruit that remains is what's worth telling the lost world about. What has God done for you? How has God changed you? What have you had to overcome? What are you wrestling with right now? That's reality. That's what people need to hear. And the Holy Spirit will allow you to do that. It's a supernatural perspective that will show you what to do, how to do it, give you courage to stand when everything around you is crumbling. The kingdom wisdom I'm speaking of will benefit you personally, but again, it's not for you. It'll benefit you, but that's not the ultimate goal from God. His goal is to enhance His kingdom. And if you get blessed in conjunction with Him building His kingdom, glory be to God. But His goal is not just to bless you and make you prosperous. His goal is to prosper you so His kingdom can be built. That's why I have always had a problem with the prosperity gospel. I'm glad that it's dried up and now everybody's repenting for their bad theology. But from the beginning of time, you can go back to my messages when I first started preaching 12 years ago. I never bought into that. I've always preached this. God wants to bless you like He did Abraham so that you will be a blessing. It's not for you to have all this flashy stuff and be arrogant. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. That's the blessing of Abraham. The word of wisdom. Wisdom from heaven. James says this in chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Remember the key of humility. Does anybody remember that last week? But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. But if you are bitter, envious, self-seeking in your hearts, in your emotions, and you lie against the truth, this is not from the kingdom of heaven. This is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So you can't release a word of knowledge if you've got bitterness in your heart. You can't function in kingdom wisdom if you are a bitter, self-seeking person. If it's all about you and you haven't learned the gift, the key to the kingdom, of the key of service, how to be a servant, then you'll never get all that God's called you to have. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Every evil thing are there. That's where it starts. Envy and self-seeking. It brings confusion, and every other evil thing can attack you from those two strongholds. But the wisdom, here we go, that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Isn't that good? There's a lot there. The wisdom that is from God, this kingdom wisdom, this spiritual gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, it comes from God, and it is pure. There can be no Holy Spirit without the word holy. There's a purity that comes with this. It's peaceable. If you're in a quarrel with somebody all the time, you don't have the genuine artifact. Anybody alive in here tonight? If you're in a quarrel with somebody all the time, you don't have the genuine artifact. You need the authentic peace that comes from the Holy Ghost. Are you a peacemaker? Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. How are you going to sow peace if you don't have peace? Some of you need peace tonight. You need peace in your heart. Wisdom from heaven. Pride promotes strife. Peace promotes unity. Pride promotes strife. Peace promotes unity. If you're able to make peace, then you'll attain unity. That's what's going on with our Congress and our political leaders. Doesn't matter about who's right. We all know who's right. But you have two sides so doggone stubborn they won't find peace. We need peace. We need unity. We need protection. And guess what? It doesn't happen without some level of unity. So let's pray the Holy Ghost down on Washington for unity so that we get the protection we need and we get the freedom that we need for the right kinds of people trying to come here. We can attain both. But Jesus walked in supernatural wisdom. Supernatural wisdom. He knew what to say. He knew where to go. Didn't matter if it was on the Sabbath. Didn't matter what day it was on. Jesus knew what to say. He knew what to do. He knew how to pour the water in the jars to make them turn to wine. Jesus functioned as fully man, fully God, but he walked in kingdom wisdom. He knew what to do. I love what it says in Matthew 22, and we're done. Then the Pharisees went and plotted out how they might entangle Jesus, how they might trip him up in his talk. And they sent him to their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" So just like the media does to preachers today, they're always trying to get preachers tripped up. They're always trying to get preachers tripped up because they know Christians are hardly loyal. And if they get them to say one thing wrong, they can divide the church. And the same thing's going on here. They're trying to trip Jesus up, and they're trying to ask him a political question. Here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of the Kingdom, and they're trying to ask him a political question. And he answers it masterfully. He says, "Look at this coin. Who's on this coin?" He said, "Caesar, you give to Caesar what Caesar's, give to the Lord what's the Lord's." That's kingdom wisdom. I want you to try to seek the Holy Spirit in your speech before you respond. Amen? What if you're estranged from a family member or friend? There's drama, there's issues. Seek the Holy Spirit before you respond to negativity, before you post on Facebook, Charlie and Ron. Seek the Holy Spirit before you react on the job. Ask God for his wisdom. What does it say in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first what? The what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not talking about the knowledge from here or the knowledge from your heart. He's talking about the knowledge from heaven. The only way you can have that is through the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must get immersed in all that has to do with Jesus Christ and his kingdom if you're going to walk and function in kingdom wisdom. Lord, would you just cover them with your grace, your caris, your mercy right now? Would you put a hunger in them for more of you? Put a hunger in their belly for more of you. Lord, fill them with all of the gifts that you have for them. Fill them with your precious Holy Spirit and all the gifts associated with that. But Lord, fill them with power. Power to see. A heart to believe. A brain to function and think. Lord, with wisdom that they know not of, that comes directly from you. Lord, some of them have ideas for businesses. Lord, give them the patent to your business. Lord, some of them are struggling with what to do in a relationship. Lord, heal it. Heal their heart right now, but Lord, give them wisdom as to whether they need to go back to it or keep running away from it. Give them your wisdom tonight. Lord, some of them need wisdom for a child or a grandchild that's away from you. Father God, right now in this moment of prayer, Lord, give them kingdom wisdom as to what they need to say. Maybe you've been bashing them. Maybe you've been beating them over the head with your Bible verses. And maybe the Lord's saying in this moment, just love them for a season. Take a break from telling them everything they do wrong and start telling them about how good God is. And see the kingdom difference that it'll make in their lives. Lord, some people are struggling with sin issues in here tonight. They feel unworthy. They feel hindered from hearing from you or believing the truth about themselves. We bind that spirit of fear, insecurity, and sin. We bind that in the name of Jesus. It must leave by the blood of Jesus. Now, Lord, fill them up with freedom and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. Fill them up to the overflow with fruit that will remain. Fruit that will remain. Father God, put a hunger in our church. Put a hunger in our church for souls. Put a hunger in our church for kingdom. Put a hunger in our church for people. Lord, put a hunger in our church for the Bible. Lord, put a hunger in our church for family and community. Father God, may we not look at this church as a place where we do a group, but the place where we do life together. Father God, put community in our hearts. Give us wisdom on how we can build the right kind of community here, a community that people want to be a part of, that people that are lost are drawn to, people that don't have parents, people that have addictions, people that have it all but are still missing something. May this be a place they're drawn to, because it's a remnant of your kingdom. It reflects your kingdom. Holy Spirit, move and fill people and heal people right now. Let's just worship God just a moment before we close tonight. Just worship Him right where you are.